Well, today in The Connection, we're pausing at our current study of the Ten Commandments, and we'll step into the studio with Skip and Lenya Heitzik. We'll be discussing the interesting topic of holy moments. Welcome to the first Friday broadcast of The Connection, where we're talking to Skip and Lenya Heitzik about a subject of interest to all Christians, and that's recognizing when God is moving in our lives. Skip, this is a very personal area, and as we look at Scripture, we see that God speaks with people in a wide variety of ways, doesn't he?
Boy, he does. You hit it right on the head there. You know, there's a Scripture in Hebrews, Peter, that talks about how God speaks with people. And the author says, God, who at different ways and at different times spoke in times past to our fathers, has in these last days spoken. So it implies that God, who is the creator, uses a number of creative ways to speak to people. For instance, to Adam, he called him in the cool of the day when he was walking in the garden. To Moses, a burning bush was part of the phenomena out in the desert. To Elijah, who was on Mount Sinai, it was a still, small voice. Joseph got dreams. The prophet Daniel and Amos both saw visions. Gideon had a lamb's fleece that was one time wet and then another time not. And so not only to individuals, but then to the nation, he'd use phenomena or he'd use prophets. So God has creative ways to speak to people throughout history.
So, Len, your latest book is just about this topic, Holy Moments. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think that so many of us want a touch of the divine or a connection with God, but although Skip's given us these great examples of extraordinary circumstances when God speaks, for most of us, we're not going to walk on water. There's not going to be a parting of the Red Seas or a burning bush or an audible voice. And so we live in the midst of the ordinary. And so we long to have God connect with us as well. And I think that holy moments is the way that God does that. He uses the ordinary circumstances, what we might consider coincidence or serendipity or just, you know, happenstance, that I think that God, in fact, is really echoing out through us and trying to get our attention.
Tell us about the stories in your life that led you to explore the subject of these holy moments.
Well, I really believe that God moves supernaturally, naturally. And often when we look in hindsight back at the circumstances of our lives, we say, oh, that was God. And as we become more and more aware of the way in which he communicates, perhaps we catch up with it quicker or see it in the moment. One of my favorite times is I was in Hawaii for my brother's wedding. And I was out for a jog, which is something I commonly do. And I was running along the beach of Waikiki, and about 2.5 miles into a 5-mile jog, I got a horrific Charlie horse in my calf. And so I stopped and I was stretching and doing all the things I could to try and make that thing go away to no avail. And I had no money in my pocket, no keys in my car, nobody I knew that could come get me. So I started hobbling back to where I was staying. And partway in that hobble, I felt like the Lord tapped on my shoulder, so to speak, and said, Selenia, you going to pray about that? And I guess you'd think for, you know, a pastor's wife, it would be a no-brainer, right? I should be praying about the circumstance. So I did. I said, Lord, help, or, you know, send somebody or heal me, whatever it is. And stretch across the Queen Kapi'olani Park, there was a banner as I looked up from my prayer, and it said, heaven sent. So I was pretty startled that after my prayer, there was this literal heaven sent. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe that's the answer to my prayer. I guess I'll walk over there. And as I got closer, the banner said, heaven sent mobile massage therapy. And so it was that timely thing. And it was the right place, the right time. And, you know, just having listened to his voice and to pray and to have immediate answer. A guy came out and massaged my calf, and I made my way home.
That's a holy moment.
Yeah.
It can be.
Yes.
Right? How about from others? You've been hearing from others, and of course your book is filled with others and their holy moments. Tell me one of your favorite holy moments from the folks you've talked to.
And kind of piggybacking on what Skip said, you know, God speaks in diverse ways, and he resonates with each of us in a different way. Maybe the way that God would communicate with me might not be the way he communicates with another person. And some people are more visual, some more audio. I have a friend named Michelle, and she lives in Dallas, Texas. And Michelle has twins. And because she has twins, I think it just makes her more vulnerable and open to other women in her circumstances. And one morning, she was having her quiet time and reading the paper. And she saw that a woman in the paper had twins. And as the father and her older son were on the way to visit her with the twins. They were in a horrific accident and died. And this devastated Michelle. So she started praying on a daily basis and scouring the newspaper and the TV to find out what was going on with this lady, Kathy, and her life. And some months went by, and because Michelle is married to John Wetland, who is a cleanup or was a cleanup pitcher for the Texas Ranger at the time, she was at the baseball stadium, and it was 2-for-1 hot dogs. When you have twins, hey, that's a good deal, 2-for-1 hot dogs. So she left her skybox to get hot dogs for the girls, and as she was in line, she's a chatty Kathy, she just struck up a conversation with another woman in line, and she turned out to be a mother of twins as well. And as the conversation went on, Michelle realized this is that woman, the one that she's been praying for, that her husband had died in that horrific accident. And so Michelle said, "Are you Kathy? The one I've been praying for. I don't know the population of Dallas, Texas, a few million, or, you know, or close to a million." And that these two women would be at the same place at the same time ordering 2-for-1 hot dogs. Well, Michelle invited Kathy up to her skybox, and she got to minister to her and tell her how much God loves her. And this was the first time Kathy had left her home after such a horrible circumstance. And it was only because some friends had talked her into it that the Rangers were playing the Baltimore Orioles, and that was her son's favorite team. And her husband's favorite player was Cal Ripken. And so Michelle invited him down to the area where the guys come out, and Cal signed her T-shirt and told her, you know, God did this for you to let you know he sees you and he knows what you're going through, and he, you know, is a God of love and he wants to be merciful. And so that was a holy moment, being at the right place at the right time.
No doubt about it. What a touch from the Lord there. And he moves in so many different ways, doesn't he?
And this was just a crisis and a compassion that another Christian would say, God, use me to be an intercessor. And I might not be able to ever hug that person, but maybe in my prayers I can impact their lives. And then the Lord let her be an answer to her own prayers, which is just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here in America, newspapers, televisions, we're just filled with just a longing for supernatural, and we see it all around us. Why do you think that is, that we are looking for that touch of the divine here in our life?
What is up with that? You know, you had that Joan of Arcadia, and you had the singer that said, "What if God was one of us?" And you have Medium and so many of these programs that people really are wanting to know. You know, Scully and Mulder, you know, is the truth out there? Is there something else? And I really feel that there is this need in us to know that there's a significance, a purpose, that this can't be all there is, for number one. I think that we're all crying out for, you know, our human special. Is there something different for me? But not only that, I think we cry out for intimacy. I think there's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and we are incomplete until we find that completion in him.
And yeah. And to frame that biblically, Peter, Paul said that we were created subject to emptiness, to vanity, so that, like Lenny said, there is a hole in our hearts. God built humanity to need divinity. There has to be an intersection for us to be fulfilled. It's the way we were created. We will never be fulfilled. And that's why the enemy, the devil, has so many counterfeits out there, because he knows that's the way God orchestrated and designed us to be.
Sure. I tell you, it goes beyond. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking for UFOs. We're looking for just that extension of ourselves somewhere in the great beyond.
Man wants to walk with God, and God wants to walk with man.
Yeah.
And not just in an impersonal sense, not just that big, great, big God's out there, but he counts the hairs on our head. He collects our tears in a bottle. He knows our frame. He knows the words in our mouth before we speak them. You know, we were formed in our mother's womb, and more than just knowing that God is there, it's that he cares, and he's there, and he hears our prayers. And I think holy moments are his way of saying, I'm there, I see you, I know, I'm watching the circumstances, and I want to be involved in the details of your lives.
And I would say that when God created us, he created us to have perpetual holy moments, and that sin altered that. For instance, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, God came one day and called out, walking in the cool of the day, "Adam, where are you?" As if to say, I'm ready for the daily walk. We do this a lot. We do this all the time. And now something's happened to disrupt that intimacy and communication.
Yeah. God wants to speak into our lives. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to learn how to listen.
Well, exactly. And then we need to discern. Mm-hmm. Talk about the difference between a coincidence in life and one of those holy moments.
Well, that's a good point, because there is a difference between objective truth and subjective experience. And unfortunately, we live in a culture where that is totally confused. I mean, the philosophy today is what is truth for you may not be truth for me. And it's nothing more than philosophical postmodernism. So we have people that want to experience at any cost something, some phenomena. So what has happened, and it's a trend that has happened really since the post-World War II, is that we've abandoned the thought that truth can be objectively discerned. So we opt for pure subjectivism, what I experience, what I feel. So that is a danger. Now, having said that, the second part to that is when subjective experience can be tied to and rooted in objective truth, i.e. biblical truth, then it's valid. And I think a good example of that is in Acts, where there was a phenomenon that took place in Jerusalem, the speaking in tongues. There was this wind that blew through, and the people of Jerusalem said, "What is this?" And Peter stood up, and he tied a subjective experience with objective truth by saying, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophets." And he quoted Joel to say, what you're seeing and hearing in terms of this subjective experience in Jerusalem is rooted in objective truth that the prophets spoke long ago. So when you wonder, do I have a holy moment? You have the Bible, you have the scripture, you have objective truth to tie it to.
Which is what the book kind of does. I believe holy moments happen to point us to the Holy One. Mm-hmm. And so often people just want some, like Skip said, experience that they can tuck away and not have it in a frame of reference of the scripture. But I believe God is really trying to get our attention and to lead us to the Holy One. And so that's why the book is based on Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, that it's teaching us those things if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that He'll give us the desires of His heart, and that we commit everything we do to Him, trust in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. So there is a template that's a scriptural template for holy moments.
You're listening to the First Friday edition of The Connection. Skip and Lenya Heitzig, they're in studio discussing the topic of holy moments. Now, when we come back, we'll ask Skip if there are any warnings that we should observe concerning holy moments. But now, let's listen to this. Holy Moments, a book by Lenya Heitzig, is available on the Connection website right now, connectiononline.org, or by calling 1-800-922-1888. Skip, there's no doubt that holy moments are valid, but can there be a danger in becoming maybe too much experience-oriented?
Well, right, Peter. Just like we had talked about a few moments ago, that is a danger because that's part of our nature. We crave that. And unfortunately, even in the church world and in Christendom, if Christians forsake the standard of truth, the plumb line, as Amos looked at it, something that is measurable, discernible, objectively you can look at it, if we abandon that, then we're going to be open to anything. So just like there's real, there's also counterfeit. So you have authentic and you have fake. And it's always been that way. For every true prophet of God, there were false prophets, etc. And the Bible promises there will be. So you have trends that have marked the church in every decade. We've seen things like holy laughter. We've seen meetings where supposedly the Holy Spirit comes and fills people's cavities. And if they're really spirits, it'll be with gold rather than porcelain. I mean, all sorts of nonsense that is supposed to be an experience. Not that God can't be a dentist. I mean, God could do anything He wants. But you look at these meetings, and they don't look like holy moments. They look like unholy moments, like laughter. Is joy biblical? Absolutely. It's interesting, though, the Bible seems to place a higher value on mourning rather than laughter. Because God's job isn't to make us happy, it's to make us holy.
Amen.
Now, the consequence of being holy is to be happy. True joy, not a false momentary experience.
Yeah.
So that's where, once again, we raise the flag of discernment and we examine every moment, every episode or experience up against what the Bible says.
So those would be warnings then that you'd give about holy moments not violating scriptural revelation then.
That's exactly right. Everything subjective, which is something I experience, has to be measured up against not something else subjective, but something objective, something that you can look at from the outside and test. Otherwise, one person's experience is equally as valid as anybody else's experience. And if we as Christians say, oh, but I felt, oh, but I experienced, then that is your only standard of testing. You then have to be open to the Buddhist, the Muslim, the Christian Science, the anybody else, pagan worshiper, who has an experience, because that has become the bar. There's nothing objective. So that's why we always want to raise the flag of discernment and raise the flag of biblical inerrancy.
Yeah. Lenya, how can we become more sensitive to these holy moments in our lives?
Well, the book covers what I call five D's. It's five little pearls of wisdom that we're going to help you that are based on that scriptural reference, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. And the first one, and the first D, is to delight in the Lord. And I think that ties in with Skip. What are we delighting in? Obviously, if I'm delighting in an LSD trip like Timothy Leary, I might have some experiences that are pretty out of this world. But are those delighting things to the Lord? Are
He's
those
dead
scriptural?
Now, by the way.
Exactly. And so as I delight in him, what does that mean? If I, like, for instance, if my husband would like to delight in me and he took me skydiving, scuba diving, four-wheeling, and then we had to shoot and hunt our own game and put it over a roasted fire, I wouldn't be very delighted. So for him to delight in me, he needs to find out.
The whole vacation I planned is all on now.
He needs to find out what I delight in order to express that. And it's the same thing for God. And when you look in Scripture about what kind of things God delights in, it's always tied to his word, that we delight in truthfulness, the laws, the statutes, the testimonies, the truth of God's word. And so the more we align ourselves to his word, the more likely that we are to bring delight to him, and we will find our lives more delighting. And the other part of that scripture is it says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. That's the second D, is these desires of our heart. And I like to look at it like this. Some people think, you know, that God's a genie in a bottle. I can just rub him the right way, pray the right way, and he's going to give me any desire I want. And that's not the case. But as I delight in him, I'm in his word, in prayer, in worship, in fellowship, that he plants desires in my heart that are his very own. And as I'm doing that, I'm more likely to have holy moments based on the desires he puts there and based on, you know, how I'm developing those attributes in my life.
Sure. It just opens it up to his spirit speaking to you.
Right.
Lenya, it's encouraging to hear how God is working in the lives of others. And you've got a website now where people can place their holy moments on the website, kind of a sharing thing.
I'm really excited about that because one of the joys of this book is that I hope that people know how much God does love them and want to be involved in their lives. And by telling the stories of my friends and others, I hope that they'll tell my stories. And the fun part for me is that I have found my faith strengthened by people, you know, giving their holy moments. So I would love people to visit myholymoments.org and tell me some of these stories. And we'd be love to share them and put them up on the website and let other people be encouraged in their faith as well.
So that's myholymoment.org.
Right.
That's the website. So we encourage people to do that. It's great to just hear what's happening just across the country in people's lives and how the Lord is speaking words of life into them.
Mm-hmm.
Lenya, one interesting point in your book explains how important it is to mold the desires of our hearts into holy desires. Tell us more about this important step.
Well, that's like what I was saying, that I desire what he desires. And so that step is where I'm making sure that the things that are important to God, you know, the fear of the Lord and truth and righteousness, loving kindness, justice, that as I'm longing for the things that God desires me to long for, that I become much more open to it. And then he gives the desires of our heart. I think this was kind of tying back to something Skip had said. How do you know if this is a holy moment instead of a goofy moment or an unholy moment or a happy moment? And when we get these desires, I give some things that you can ask yourself to know if a desire is from the Lord, if this is God's will. And so many people say, how do I know if I take this job, marry this man, and do this next project? And I think that scripture, you know, that giving the desires of our heart, we can ask three questions. What do I want? Why do I want it? And what am I willing to do to get it? What do I want? You know, you could see that Samson wanted a wife, and he went after Delilah. And that wasn't God's choice. He wasn't to marry women from another background or a culture and force his parents to do something, and it really ended up disastrous for him. So when we want something, when we get these desires, we say, what do I want? Is it what God would want? Does it match up with Scripture? And then the second question we can ask is, why do I want it? Eve really wanted that apple. And it looked very enticing, and the serpent was really working her over. And she found out the reason she wanted it maybe was for the wrong reasons. She could be like God. You know, she would know good and evil. And so sometimes when we're desiring something, not just what we want, but what is the motivation? And that's where a lot of us do get sideways. We have really backwards motivations. Do I want to be rich? Is it for selfish gain? Or is it for, you know, the kingdom, for Christ? And then finally, what am I willing to do it? And in the book of Acts, you see Simon the sorcerer. And he sees the, you know, apostles come to town, and they've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. And he thinks, I got to have me some of that. And he wants to buy it. And we don't buy any of the attributes, the things of God. And so what he was willing to do it was to buy it, to get the right thing the wrong way. And sometimes we're willing to compromise, where you see Abraham and Sarah, instead of waiting on God to bring the heir, well, let's use Hagar. You know, that's the right thing the wrong way. And so this helps a litmus test of what our desires are. What do I want? Why do I want it? What am I willing to do to get it?
Yeah, good. Skip, take us to the New Testament, and let's talk about some of those holy moments and how they show up during the ministry of Jesus, for example.
Well, Jesus, of course, he's the ultimate. He's the Holy One. In fact, even the demons recognize, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. So it would make sense. In fact, it's good you brought it up, but we need to go a step further. It makes sense that Jesus would experience such holy moments because he was the Son of God. But we also have to recognize that Jesus is uniquely the Son of God. He's theanthropos, the theologians call him, the theanthropic Son of God, God in human flesh. But this same one who was living in constant holiness and these holy moments, communion with the Father, spoke about the possibility of his followers having such encounters. For instance, he said, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. So he promised that his followers could experience the providence of God through talking to God and expecting God to intersect their reality. And then he even told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come and would direct them into all truth and would bring things to their remembrance, things they had forgotten about the life of Christ. So you picture Matthew, you picture John and these others writing the scriptures down, writing the stories down, having an encounter as human beings with the providence of God in their unique case of writing scripture down, but the Holy Spirit interacting in their lives. So when we talk about holy moments, we have to realize that there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're living in an age where we should be expecting his touch, his movement. Some call it the dance with the Holy Spirit, where we're enjoying that ebb and flow of his work in our lives. And that's all promised in the New Testament.
You bet. Ask, seek, knock. Mm-hmm. Lenny, as we close, would you give a word of encouragement to those out there in the audience who would like a closer walk with God, more consistent holy moments?
Well, part of that other passage in these five steps is, you know, to delight, to have the desires, to dedicate your direction, and then to depend wholly on him, which is this area of trust. And I think the more we trust him, the more we find him to be trustworthy, which sounds just like circular reasoning. But it is that the more we wholly depend on him and have an expectation and are looking for him and believing, you know, the more we know God, the more we love God, the more we trust God. We know his name, his character by being in his word. So I would encourage those listening to just be a seeker first of his kingdom, to be about his business, to be in his word, to be in prayer. I'll end with one other little story. And Skip's told this one before. It was a gal named Brenda, and she had a fear of heights. And she thought she was going to try and conquer that fear of heights. And some of us in trusting God have to get over some things to move on in our faith. And so she decided to go rock climbing, mountain climbing with some of her friends. And as she was dangling, dangling from a line in a carabiner at about 100 feet. The line, the person above her, snapped, and it popped and hit her eye, and her contact fell out. Now, for a person who's already terrified of heights, to be dangling in the air without your contact lens was probably pretty frightening. So she made it to the top, and when she got there, she said, "Oh, Lord, you know what? Your eyes go to and fro across the whole earth, and can you know where my contact lens is? Help me to find it." Well, that's when we reach out in that trust, that dependence, that faith. We're willing to take God at his promises. And so, you know, they looked with a flashlight. It wasn't in her eye, and they started going down the path. And partway down the path, another group was coming up, and they yelled ahead, "Hey, anybody up there lose a contact lens?" And so Brenda was overwhelmed. And she said, "How did you find the lens?" And he said, "I was looking down, and an ant was crawling by with a contact lens on his back."
My goodness.
And Brenda's father's a cartoonist, and so he drew a picture of an ant carrying the contact lens, saying, "Lord, it's too big for me to eat, and I don't know why you want me to carry it, but if this is what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do." But when this woman stepped out in faith to conquer a fear in her life, to cross the Jordan, to climb the mountain, whatever it was, and then she took God at his word, then I'm going to pray, I'm going to believe his promises, what he said is true. Here he met her with an unusual holy moment with an aunt carrying her contact lens. So I just want your people to believe him, to take him at his word and step out in your prayer life and in your life of faith and really apprehend, you know, possess your possessions in Christ. Get everything that he has because he is trustworthy and he'll come through.
Well, Lenya, thanks to you and to Skip for joining us today. Remember, the Holy Moments book is available on the Connection website at connectiononline.org or by calling us at 1-800-922-1888.